Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa mawlana wa nabiyyina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم ففهمناها سليمان قال الله تعالى في كلامه المجيد الفرقان الحميد وما كان الله ليعذبهم وانت فيهم وما كان معذبهم هم يستغفرون ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما My dear respected brothers, elders, and those sisters who are listening from home, we are in a very blessed time. The month is blessed. The day is blessed and the time is blessed. The month we are in is the month of Ramadan. The day we are in is the day of Jummah. And the time we are in is the time of Jummah after Asr Salah. A hadith states that there's a time on Friday when a person asks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the du'as are definitely accepted. Scholars differ as to when that time is. The narration of Hazrati Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that this time is after Asr Salah, the last hour before Maghrib Salah, is the time when a person sits down, supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his needs will be fulfilled. We live in a time and age where there is much war. There are difficulties in life. There are difficulties amongst the ummah. Have we ever thought and sat down and think, what is the solution? What is the solution to these problems? Apart from the five pillars of Islam, we have the Salah, we have the Hajj, we have the Zakah. That is something which is non-negotiable, you must do. A person thinking, I'll read Subhanallah all day and I will miss my five salah, that person will not reach his goal and target of attaining paradise. But after completing the fard and obligations, can we get rid of our problems? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem that, O Prophet, while you are in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish this ummah. While you are in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish this ummah. And due to the existence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to his mercy, due to his kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted many difficulties, many punishments from this ummah. But now, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried in Medina, and he is no longer in this world. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no longer in this world, then what is the solution? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further states, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ O Prophet of Allah, if you are no longer in this world, do not worry. If my ummati, if my servants, they read istighfar, wahum yastaghfirun collectively, astaghfirullah, then too will I avert the punishment from this ummah. Many scholars, they have said that sometimes a person is very, very busy. They don't have the time to go into the company of a scholar. How can they achieve the greatness and the kindness of the Holy Prophet ﷺ as he was in this world, and hence punishment was averted from the ummah? They say, by reciting the Durood Sharif. By reciting the Durood Sharif, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi was asked that if a person makes a habit of reciting Durood Sharif, then will that be sufficient for that person? Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi said that if he does not attend the company of a pious person due to his being busy with other affairs, then Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam, due to the blessings of Durood Sharif, will do his islah directly from his grave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will take him to such a stage due to the blessings of Durood Sharif that he will attain paradise as soon as he passes away. The blessings of Durood Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels, they send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Muslims, you too should send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this verse was revealed, the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, you have taught us the method of salah, which is at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, as we read in salah. What is the method of salah? You have taught us the method of salam. What is the method of salah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the method of salah is to read Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallait ala Ibrahim, and the whole Durood Sharif which we pray in salah. Now the ulama have said that there's a question here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the ummah to pray durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we say the words of durood, we don't say just salli ala. We say Allahumma salli ala. Allah ta'ala, you send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the objection here is that Allah ta'ala has asked us to send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we again are asking Allah ta'ala, no, you send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How does that work? The commentators of hadith, they say that our existence, our being, is not worthy enough and it cannot fulfill the right of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the Durood Sharif, fulfill it in the right way for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a complete way, and then send it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we do not have the capacity of being worthy enough to send Durood in a complete manner to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A poet says, "Ma in madahtu Muhammadan bi maqalati, walakin maqalati mudihat bi Muhammadi." That I am not worthy enough that my speech can praise the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who has made my speech worthy enough. Now, due to the fact that we are now in a time where his Asr Salah has been completed. The fazail and the virtue of Durood Sharif becomes even more. For many years, I've been searching through the ahadith, trying to find out which amal, which act is the most virtuous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, I can say, there is, after the fara'id and after the obligations, there is no act more virtuous than the Durood Sharif. To such an extent that there's a hadith that says, that person who forgets to read Durood Sharif during his lifetime, he has forgotten his path to paradise. By forgetting to read Durood Sharif, that person has forgotten his path to paradise. Not only that, another hadith mentions that a person who prays Durood Sharif 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ on that person's behalf becomes wajib. What does that mean? What that means is, by constantly reading Durood Sharif, a person will never die without reading the kalima before they pass away. Such is the blessing of the Durood Sharif that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions in a narration, by reading Durood Sharif once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon that person. 10 sins are forgiven. His status or her status elevated 10 times in paradise. And according to one narration, not just 10, 70 times. A narration comes to mind. Hazrat Sufyan Thori, rahmatullah alayh, a very great scholar. Regarding Hazrat Sufyan Thori, rahmatullah alayh, see, the word Thor means a buffalo. Hazrat Sufyan Thori, rahmatullah alayh, once was about to enter the masjid. He entered the masjid with his left foot. He entered the masjid with his left foot. All of a sudden, a voice came from the unknown and said, "Oh Thor, why are you leaving out the sunnah?" Hazrat Sufyan Thori rahmatullah alayh, immediately he rectified his mistake and he entered the masjid with his right foot. And from that day on, his name was Sufyan Thori, saying, "The name that I have been given by the Almighty, I shall not change that name." Regarding Hazrat Sufyan Thori rahmatullah alayh, he says, "Once I was in Makkah Mukarrama, I was making tawaf of the Kaaba. And at the same time, a youngster, not very old, he was also making tawaf of the Kaaba. While people make tawaf, they read, 'Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatu wa qina adab an-nar.' But when I heard this youngster, the only thing he was reading was Durood Sharif." Hazrat Sufyan Thori rahmatullahi says, "I could not grasp myself. And I really wanted to ask this youngster, why is it that you only read Durood Sharif and you don't read anything else? You did not even ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness during the tawaf of the Kaaba." So, Hazrat Sufyan Thori rahmatullah, when he completed his tawaf, he met that individual, he met that youngster, and he said to the youngster, "Please tell me the secret behind you reading constant Durood Sharif." The youngster said, "It's none of your business, it's my secret." But he insisted. After insisting, he said to him that my father, he passed away. And when he passed away, his face turned absolutely black. When I saw this, I thought to myself, this is a very bad sign from Allah Ta'ala. And I read, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." All of a sudden, I was tired. I went to sleep and I had a vision. In that vision, I saw the Holy Prophet ﷺ. He took off the sheet from my father's face, and he spread his hand upon my father's face, and after that, my father's face started to shine. I asked the Holy Prophet in my dream, in my vision, that, O Prophet of Allah, who are you? He said, I am the Prophet of Allah, and due to your father's Durood Sharif, the constant Durood Sharif he used to pray in the world, I have changed his aqibat, and now he will inshallah enter paradise. All due to the blessings of the Durood Sharif. I remember once, Mona Abdul Rahim Saab from Dalun Berry, he narrated one incident that a student came to him and he said, Ustadi, I saw a dream. I saw that the Maidan of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, has come into existence. Everybody is standing in a line. I myself, I'm also standing behind another person. And that person who's before me is being asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you committed many, many sins in the world. That person said to Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, but I'm hafiz of the Qur'an Kareem. Allah ta'ala said to him, you are hafiz of the Qur'an Kareem, but your act was not as of the Qur'an Kareem. The person behind you who saw the dream said, I started shaking. What's Allah ta'ala going to ask me? How am I going to be accounted for? So he said, when my turn came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the same to me, that you were half of the Qur'an Kareem, but you did many bad things. So I said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, whatever your decision is, I'm happy with it. But please grant me one wish. And that is, let me meet the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala says, no problem. That person who sees the vision, he goes and meets the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hugs him. And after hugging him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he takes a small piece of paper out of his pocket, he puts it into the scale, and that piece of paper, it outweighs all the bad deeds that person has done. And then the dream finishes. So Imam Abdul Rahim Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, he asked this student, is there something that you do specially during your life? He says, yes, every Friday I read a lot of Durood Sharif. He said, this is the reason why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to your salvation. As we know, it's the day of Friday. On a Friday, the reward of Durood Sharif is manifold. The narration says that on a Friday, when a person reads Durood Sharif, there's an angel that stands next to the Rauza Mubarak of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that angel such power that it knows every single person's name. And he can hear anybody around the world. So when a person reads Durood Sharif, that the angel says, O Prophet of Allah, son of so-and-so has read Durood Sharif upon you. And then there's a narration that says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he then records all this in a scribe, on a piece of paper. And that piece of paper of Durood Sharif is then adorned until the day of judgment. And then on the day of judgment, when a person is in need of the assistance of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Durood Sharif shall come to that person's salvation. Hazrat Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, an incident comes to mind. He used to have intense love for the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, the problem nowadays is that we claim to have love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but our clothing, our actions, our transactions, they are not according to the sunnah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to frequently visit the marketplace, and it was popular that he used to always have a whip. He would go to a person and ask him, How do you trade in such a manner? Is this allowed or not allowed? And if he wouldn't know the answer, he would send him back, go home, learn the masail of transactions, learn the rulings of business, and then you can come to the marketplace again. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, he had intense love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why he is known as one of the four Imams. And Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh had so much respect for Medina Sharif that he actually categorizes the Amalu Ahlil Medina, the actions of the Ahlil Medina, as evidence. The scholars know very well that Amalu Ahlil Medina is evidence for Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh says that I only performed Hajj once in my life. I had so much love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, he never even went on horseback on the ground of Medina. And when somebody asked him, he said, how can I tread with my horse as a means of transport when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried underneath this ground? So regarding Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, he says, I never performed Hajj twice. I only performed Hajj once. And when people asked him, why is it that you do not perform Hajj a second time? Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh said that I have fear that if I come out of Medina Sharif, that maybe my death will occur in another city. Whereas the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever dies in Medina Munawwara, I shall intercede on his behalf. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh was very, very eager to know, you know, how long he had left in this world. So once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw him in a dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his five fingers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not explain what these five fingers meant. As soon as the five fingers were shown, the Hazrat Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he woke up from his dream and from his sleep, and he became very, very eager and very, very worried. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean I'm going to live for 5 years, 5 days, 5 minutes, 50 years? At that time, there was a mu'abbir, an interpreter of dreams. His name was Allama ibn Sirin rahmatullahi. Imam Malik rahmatullahi said to his servant, go to Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi and ask him, what is the interpretation of this dream? And do not tell him that I have seen this dream. So the servant went to Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi. Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi first of all said that this is not the dream of a normal person. Only a pious person, a person who is lovable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must have seen this dream. So Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi said to the servant, go back to your master and tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indicated towards the five signs that nobody knows about. Only the knowledge has been given, and only the knowledge is possessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And what is that? Number one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows when the qiyamah will occur. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. When will it rain? وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And in the womb of a mother, is it a boy, is it a girl? Will that child be fortunate, will he be unfortunate? Will he enter Jahannam, will he enter paradise? وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. And nobody knows what they're going to do tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And nobody knows where they shall die. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, such a person of such caliber, but he had this eagerness to live in Medina. Allama Izzuddin ibn Salam, Hafiz Izzuddin ibn Salam, rahmatullahi alayh, another scholar of very high caliber. A person saw a vision, and in that vision he saw that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, Ishrabil Khamar, Ishrabil Khamar. And those of you who know Arabic know that the word Ishrabil Khamar means drink alcohol, drink alcohol. Now that person woke up and he thought to himself, I saw the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream saying, Ishrabil Khamar, drink alcohol. It doesn't make any sense. So he approached many, many scholars. He approached several scholars. Each scholar said to that person, actually, you haven't remembered the dream properly. The dream, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam probably said, La tashrabil khamal, don't drink alcohol. Now the issue here was that that person never had a habit of drinking alcohol. So he then approached Hafiz Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi alayhi. Hafiz Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi alayhi, he asked him, what did you actually see? He said, I heard the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying very clearly, Ishrabil Khamar. So he answered and said, the interpretation of this dream is, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has meant, intoxicate yourself with my Durood Sharif. Intoxicate yourself with my Durood Sharif. Because that person, he never had a past of doing anything else other than being loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's another hadith which mentions that on the day of judgment, every single one of us will have to cross the pool Sirat, the bridge of Sirat. Underneath that bridge is the fire of Jahannam. Underneath that bridge is the fire of Jahannam. The narration says that on the day of judgment, a person, due to his bad deeds, will be struggling to stay on the Sirat, which is thinner than the thinnest hair, sharper than the sharpest sword. Sometimes he'll be crawling. Sometimes he'll be pushing his backside across the Sirat. And sometimes he'll be in such a state where he'll be clinging on the Sirat, about to fall in the fire of Jahannam. All of a sudden, a person shall come. He'll take him back and put him on the Sirat. And when he is asked, who are you? He will say, I am your durood that you read in the world. My brothers, honestly, there are so many virtues regarding Durood Sharif. Allama Sahabi Rahmatullahi Alayh, he's actually written a book called Qawlul Badi. In that book, he narrates so many virtues of Durood Sharif. And it's Durood Sharif which is a means of salvation. A Sahabi approached the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, how much of my day should I spend in reading Durood Sharif? Should I spend one third of the day? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you increase, it would be better. He said, shall I spend half a day? He said, if you increase, it will be better. The Sahabi says, I spend all my time after that reciting the Durood Sharif of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Amongst our scholars, a very great scholar, Allama Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh, he has written a book known as Nashrut Tib Fi Dhikrin Nabi al-Habib. This book, I am not sure if the translation is available. It is in the Urdu language and it covers the characteristics of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It discusses the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allama Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh says, when I was writing this book, in India there was a plague at that time, just like there was a coronavirus, and there still is in some places. There was a plague at that time. Allama Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh says that the day I used to write about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that day there used to be no reports of anybody dying. Allama Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh says that the day I didn't write in that book, I didn't write any word in that book, I would hear that there has been reports of death of people. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh, when he saw that this is the case, he says, until the epidemic and the plague had ended, I kept on writing this book until the finish. There's another narration regarding a book known as the Dalailul Khairat. Dalailul Khairat, the author of Dalailul Khairat, he says, I once approached a well, I was very, very thirsty. There was no rasi, there was no rope, there was no bucket. I wanted to pull water from the well, but there was no way of me doing that. A small girl, she approached the well and she said, "Uncle, can I help you?" He said, "Yes, I would like water from there. Is there any way I can get a bucket and a rope?" The small girl, what she did was she spat inside the well. She spat inside the well and all of a sudden the water rose to the top of the well. That man was shocked. And he stopped her and said, "Thank you very much, Jazakallah, for your help. But please can you tell me, with which deed has Allah Ta'ala given you such an ability?" That girl says, "There's a specific durood that I read every single day, and because of that durood sharif, Allah Ta'ala has given me this ability." The author of the Qasida Burda, very popular, "Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada, ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi." It's not just one part, there are many parts of this poetry. The author of Qasida Burda, Allama Busir Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, "I was afflicted with a disease. And I was very tired one day. I fell asleep. And in the sleep I saw the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to me, 'I have heard that you have written poetry in my love. Read that poetry to me.'" Allama Busir Rahmatullah Alayh says that I read the poetry of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the vision. And when I woke up, my disease had totally been terminated. "Ya Rabbi, salli wa sallim da'iman abada, ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi." The amount of virtue there's in durood, absolutely amazing. There was a sahabi in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his name was Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked me to sit on the minbar, and he said, praise Islam, praise myself, praise the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Hazrat Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I started by saying, "Ya Sahib al-Jamal, min wajhik al-muniri laqad nuwira al-qamar. Ba'd az khuda buzrug tu ye qissa mukhtasar." That, O person of beauty, it's your face which is even better than the moon. There was a sahabi known as Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Tirmizi rahmatullahi alayhi says that Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was once looking at the full moon, the 14th moon. And he says, "At the same time, I started looking at the blessed face of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." He says, I could not say to myself, I could not push myself to the decision that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed face was better and more beautiful than the 14th moon. Comes regarding Hazrat Yusuf ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was given half the beauty of the whole world. When the friends of Zulaikha, they saw Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they chopped their fingers off, which is a very popular story. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that if they were to see my Habib in his true beauty, they would have chopped their hearts out and taken them out. So as I said in the beginning, even though the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not exist in this world anymore, if a person makes a constant habit of reading Durood Sharif, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will make islah of that person directly from his grave. And what is the second method? The second method is, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala shall not punish a people as long as they make istighfar collectively. The narration comes to mind in Bukhari Sharif, that a person who had committed 99 murders, he thought to himself, "I've killed 99 people, I might as well make 100, kill one more person." So he killed one more person. When he murdered 100 people, he felt remorse and he felt regret. And he then intended to meet a pious person where he could go and then make Tawbah. Unfortunately, before he could go to the pious person, the angel of death, they took his soul and he died. Now, the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment, they started having an argument. That should we punish him or should he be given the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that that person, he was more towards the bad people than he was towards the pious person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the distance between him and the pious person less and the distance between him and the bad people more. So that he could be blessed. So, the scholars say, since this person had an intention of visiting the pious scholar. And because of that intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave that person the ability to make tawbah in such a way that even though he had died in such a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person. So my brothers, there's so much to say regarding Durood Sharif. I mean, after Asr Salah, there's a narration. We all know that a person who prays Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima 80 times, 80 years of sins are forgiven. Yesterday night, it could have been Laylatul Qadr. This could be our last Ramzan. May Allah Ta'ala give us a long life, but it could be our last Ramzan. Allama Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi alayh, he mentions in his book that if the people who are in their grave were given a wish, what would they wish for? They would wish for one more day of Ramadan. We are in the last 10 days of Ramadan. What can be better than being in the last 10 days of Ramadan? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most popular hadith, where he ascended the minbar, and while ascending the minbar, and he said, curse be upon that person that Ramzan approaches and he is not forgiven. Allama Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that a person, he worships throughout Ramadan but is not given the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, then forgiveness will not be given. A person needs to sit down in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be at home or in the masjid, and then ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. A human being is weak. We have not been made angels. We have human desire. Despite that desire, if we ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is here to forgive. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, he says if a person makes a habit before he or she goes to sleep and sits on their bedside and does a bit of muraqabah, that Allah Ta'ala, today I have committed many sin. Maybe tomorrow I might not wake up. I ask for forgiveness from all my sins. If that person was to pass away, that person would go straight to paradise. So achieving paradise is easy for that person who wants to achieve paradise. A classic example. The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith that a person who recites Qul Huwallahu Ahad once achieves one third of the Qur'an-i Kareem in reward. I was looking for evidence, as it's very popular, that a person who recites the Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times achieves the reward of reading the Qur'an-i Kareem once. But this is not stated in the hadith. But I asked a few scholars, and alhamdulillah, we came across a hadith where you recite the Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times and you receive the reward of reading one Qur'an Kareem. Did you know that not only that, a person who reads a hadith says that the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, Why do you not read 1,000 verses before you retire to bed, for example? The Sahaba said, who has the capacity to recite 1,000 verses in a small amount of time? The Prophet said that whosoever recites Allahakumut Takathur, the whole surah, will achieve the reward of reading 1,000 verses. A book which I have as a PDF, Alhamdulillah, in that book there are few narrations just by reciting a few surahs of the Quran Kareem, a person can receive approximately 10 times the rewards of the Quran Kareem in about 10 minutes. So many things that a person can do. A hadith says, a person reads, Jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bimahu ahlu. What's the reward? 70,000 angels record the reward of that deed for 1,000 days. And what you've got to understand is that when a person does a bad deed, do not become despondent upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the reward is when, on the day of judgment, when your scale, you have the scale of good deeds, you have the scale of bad deeds. If even one good deed is more than the bad deeds, you shall attain paradise. And to that effect, a scholar says that I once saw this person in a dream. And in that dream, I said to him, how has Allah Ta'ala dealt with you? And that person said that due to the blessings of Durood Sharif in my life, the Prophet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said to the angels, check how many Durood Sharif he read in his life. I was fortunate that the Durood Sharif that I had read in my life had been more than my bad deeds. Allah said, leave it, it's fine. Send him to paradise. So, if we don't do anything else, from this speech and read as much Durood Sharif as we can, inshallah, that will be a means of success for us. So may Allah Ta'ala first of all give myself and then everybody else the means of reading Durood Sharif as much as you can. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the ability to value the last 10 days of Ramadan. Allama Ibn Rajab Hanbali Rahmatullah, he has a book known as Lataiful Ma'arif. And the chapter on Laylatul Qadr, he mentions that if a person should be spending all the 10 nights. But if he cannot do that, then spend the 5 nights, which are the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, the 29th. And even if a person cannot do that, do not miss the 23rd and 27th. And again, there are many reasons. And according to the most firm view is that Laylatul Qadr itself goes around and it changes every year. So we should try our best and try and achieve as much as we can, read as much Durood Sharif as we can. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And let's make dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Wa qina adhab al-qabr wa qina adhab al-hashr wa qina adhab al-faqr wa qina adhab al-dayn. واحشرنا يوم القيامة متقين مع الإيمان متقين مع الأبرار ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار يا الله جس گھڑی کے ہم ہیں يا الله یہ جمعہ کے بعد یہ مبارک گھڑی ہے یا اللہ اس میں آپ نے نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے واسطے سے یہ ہمیں بتایا ہے کہ اس گھڑی کے اندر دعائیں قبول ہوتی ہے یا اللہ اس گھڑی کی برکت سے یا اللہ رمضان کی برکت سے یا اللہ درود شریف کی برکت سے یا اللہ جمعہ کے دن کی برکت سے ہمارے گناہ کو معاف فرما یا اللہ پتہ نہیں آئندہ رمضان ملے گا یا نہیں یا اللہ ہم بہت گنہگار ہیں یا اللہ جس ملک میں ہم رہ رہے ہیں یا اللہ بڑے بڑے فتن ہیں، یا اللہ قیامت کے آثار بھی قریب ہے، یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، یا اللہ جنہوں نے دعا کی درخواست کی یا اللہ ان کی دعاؤں اور جائز مقاصد کو پورا فرما، یا اللہ جو قرض کے اندر ڈوبے ہوئے یا اللہ ان کے قرض کے مسائل کو حل فرما، یا اللہ ہر قسم کے چھوٹے بڑے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، یا اللہ صحبت صالح نصیب فرما، یا اللہ مسجد کو آباد کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، یا اللہ ہر قسم کے رزائل سے دور فرما، یا اللہ دل کو پاکیزہ بنا دے، یا اللہ دل کو چمکیلا بنا دے، یا اللہ ہر قسم کے گناہ کو معاف فرما۔ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے طفیل کے اندر اس دعا کو قبول فرما۔ وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ خیر خلق سرنا محمد و علی و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین۔